nanohub.org.
So now we have a few minutes, at least 10 minutes maybe, for questions from the audience, if you have any. Otherwise, early break, I guess.
Oh, don't offer that.
Do you host the simulations on the Hub Zero servers, or are those hosted at the provider's location?
Yeah, that's a good question. We actually have a lot of different flexibility in the schemes that we use. So, for example, a typical hub, starter hub, can run on a single Dell server in our cluster, and that's assuming that you don't have too many users and the computational demands aren't too much. As it grows, as your community grows and more people are launching more tools, you might have a freshman class where 300 students fire up the same tool all at the same time. You can distribute out extra nodes just for the hub itself. And as your tools get more complicated, like you start running 200-node simulations that run for 4 hours, like the one that I showed, then at that point, you probably want those computations to be sent off-site. And there are a lot of different ways to do that. You can send your computations off to Coates and Steele, local resources. You can send them off to the Terra Grid, to the Open Science Grid. And we're always looking for other grid mechanisms that we can include into the fold. So Hub Zero as a platform gives you a lot of different options for how you want to manage those resources, whether you keep them running locally so that they turn around quickly, or whether you send them out onto the grid so that you can take advantage of free resources. And we give you a lot of opportunity to do that, and it's really up to each individual hub owner to decide what they want to do, whether they want to send those, all of their runs to Coates, or whether they want to go for a Terra Grid allocation or what. So as a platform, Hub Zero gives you lots of choices.
Right, and that's actually pretty important. So initially, for example, for the Needs Hub, we're just running on a server that is in the same or on the same campus, at least, as all the Hub Zero service. But then when our users, and this is only about to ramp up, when our users run large simulation runs, we want to connect it with these other resources that we've heard about of the OSG or the Terra Grid, and then do really large simulation runs there.
I have a question, Mike. Actually, I have two questions. The first one is, have contributions to the hubs been a part of tenure documents that you're aware of? Are we moving that way? And then the second question is, have any of the hubs explored doing a companion peer-reviewed journal within the hub, sort of an interactive journal as a new digital publishing model?
We had one of the younger faculty in as part of the Cancer Engineering Project actually won a national award from I believe it was NIH. It was a career award, and that's certainly going to help them be part of the, it's going to help for their tenure and promotion documents. So that's an indirect benefit. But in terms of citing it directly, other than the publications and the scientific work, I don't think it's cited directly.
So I do know of one example in our case of a young faculty member who was tenured at another institution, and we got a nice letter from the department head saying that his participation in NanoHub and contributions to it were highlighted in the promotion case, and I thought that made a big difference. So that's one example that I know of. In terms of electronic journals and publishing, not yet. But we have recently started discussions with two different journals about what we might do together. And, one of the things we're looking at there is the idea that you might have a plot of data or graph in a paper. The easiest thing to do would be to provide an ability to click on the image and have it be live, rescale the axes, input your own data and plot it on top of it. That seems like it might be a useful service. If the subject of your paper is a simulation and you've only been able to show a few results, maybe you could link to the simulation tool and the reader of the paper could feed their own input parameters into it. So we're talking to some people. We'll see what happens.
So in the Needs Hub, we're very much thinking about it. It will not happen tomorrow, but one thing that will happen hopefully tomorrow, well, figure speaking, in a few months perhaps, is that we have citable data volumes, and we want to make them Google Scholar discoverable. So then at least, if you go to Google Scholar, you'd try to look for you know, earthquake engineering, structural analysis of a steel frame, you will not only find publications, you will actually find the data volumes. The next step would then be to connect that somehow with the publication, like Mark was saying, so that if you see that graph in that publication, you could click on it, it would go to the data repository and maybe pull up some data, and you can manipulate it and do what-if scenarios, you know, related to the paper.
Question for the first presenter. It sounds like interesting. You can really access, you know, see how many times has been cited. So the someone in the hub doing that, not the faculty, not the researchers doing that, or automatically just pop up.
Your question is about tracking citations. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, tagging. Yeah. You have to. Someone have to tag. Someone have to make counting those numbers.
Yeah, you know, I wish we had a magic solution for that. In NanoHub, they've done the most work on that, and they basically have an army of grad students. So the army of grad students puts in alerts in Google Scholar, and every paper that comes along, the army reads and classifies and attaches to resources. We also have some mechanisms in Hub Zero that help you crowdsource that. So if you don't have an army of grad students, at least you could have your community upload the information. So there's a way to upload citations into a hub. But of course, people are very busy, and, you know, unless they have nothing better to do, they don't often go off and start uploading citations into a hub. We haven't reached that yet. So I think number one, we have some work to do on the cyber infrastructure that we could try to make it even easier to upload your citations. Number two, maybe there's some automatic mechanisms that we can include. And then number three, you know, relationships with the publisher down the line may help us do that as well. So far, no magic solution, although we do have a way, if you can get the data in, to track it. Last question? I guess we're right about on time. Thank you very much for coming.
I've got one right down there.
I have a question about maybe Rudy will know it, or one of the more complex tools. How long does it take to bring it up to in the hub?
I can answer it.
Probably Mike has a better statistics because he's using the across many hubs.
And you know, the answer depends a lot on the tool. I've seen it go as fast as a few days when you've got a pretty good programmer and the tool is pretty much ready to go, or it's fairly simple in terms of the number of inputs and outputs in terms of the functionality. So I've seen it take just a few days. I've seen it take 6 months or a year. So I think there's a lot of variability depending on how complex your tool is and how experienced the programmer is. We routinely, though, have, for example, on a lot of these projects, NIST and NanoHub for sure, we have undergrads that come during the summer, the SURF students, summer undergraduate research fellowships. We have maybe a dozen or 30 SURF students during the summer. They take a week-long training course, and usually a week or two after that, they've got their first tool online. So it's not uncommon for an undergrad student with a week of training to have a tool online in a couple of weeks.
Maybe a proof of that is also, I often like to cite what we did during the proposal phase when we proposed the NIST project. Within a couple months, I'd say, we put on a prototype NIST Hub, and it had some 20 tools installed. So just the fact that it was possible to do this, I think, gave us a big leg up.
Good. Well, once again, thank you very much for coming. Didn't mean to cut you off, Joe, but if you have further questions, please see any one of us or come visit hubzero.org. Thank you.